Welcome back in here to the Paul Edwards Program on Faith Talk 1500 in the Center for the Study of God and Culture. 866-423-9578 is our phone number to engage, and you can reach me online at paul@godandculture.com. Dr. Meg Meeker's got a new book, The 10 Habits of Happy Mothers, Reclaiming Our Passion, Purpose, and Sanity. She's been everywhere with this book on Good Morning America and the Today Show just in the last several days. And of course, Dr. Meeker is a pediatrician, a mother, and best-selling author of 6 books, including the book just before this one, Boys Should Be Boys, 7 Secrets to Raising Healthy Sons. She shares a pediatrician practice up in Traverse City, Michigan, with her husband, Walter. And Dr. Meg Meeker, it's an honor to welcome you here to the Paul Edwards Program.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Your book, The 10 Habits of Happy Mothers, let me begin by asking you whether or not the feminist movement has made some inroads into causing mothers to feel like maybe they're second-class citizens and maybe their role as mothers isn't as valuable as, say, if they were out in the workplace, and maybe even if they are in the workplace, the idea of motherhood maybe being second best to whatever else they might be doing that might have the sanction of the culture.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the chapters I write is on understanding your true value as a mother, and how we really feel a lot of the stress that mothers feel, who are full-time moms, just feel, that they're not performing well enough, they're not good enough. And this has been in a huge part. And really, the book is all about why we feel so stressed because of the peer pressure we feel from our culture. So a lot of it is because of the culture making us feel like we're never good enough. And that's really what prompted the writing of the book. So
what do you advise to mothers? And you yourself are a working mother, a very successful pediatrician, as well as a mom. What advice do you have to moms who may be feeling a little less valuable than they ought to be feeling, to kind of help them deal with that and maybe help them understand just how valuable they are?
Well, one of the things that I talk about is sort of saying to mothers, your highest calling as a mom is being a mom, as a woman, if you are a mother. And that what a mother is about is, truly changing, transforming, and shaping the character and the identity of another human being. And that doesn't happen in any other role that you play, at work. I can be substituted in my work. There are many other pediatricians who can step into my role. There are many other women who are running companies, working at banks, and so forth, who can be replaced. But there's only one mother that can be your child's mother. And I talk about that in the value of a mother, to really sort of supercharge the identity of mothers and our ability to sort of wrap our minds around it and say, this is enormous. This is really, really enormous. I also talk about the fact that there are many women out there working who are working for all the wrong reasons. They're working because they feel that they should be, because that's what's expected of them, and they don't really like it. They'd rather be home with their kids. And how important it is to not do things for the wrong reasons, to not be out there in the workplace because of peer pressure, but to be where you're supposed to be in your own life. So it's a very upbeat, encouraging, positive book to help mothers really recenter their lives and look at the big important things in life and let go of some of the more superficial, transient stuff in their lives.
Dr. Meg Meeker, my guest, her latest book, The 10 Habits of Happy Mothers, Reclaiming Our Passion, Purpose, and Sanity. And Dr. Meeker's website is megmeekermd.com. Do you think that that women who really they're in the workforce, I mean, my wife is in the workforce, and I pastor a church, and many of the women in that church who have young children are also in the workforce. It seems to me, coming from a pastoral perspective and a purely Christian perspective, that the way God has created a woman is to be nurturing, is to be mother, and yet the culture tends to pull mom in the other direction. Do moms kind of feel guilty if they spend more time at home and not do what the culture says, or vice versa?
You know, moms feel guilty regardless what they do. It doesn't matter. I did the Today Show, and then I did Hoda and Kathy Lee, and this was a week or two ago, and they called me back and they said, in 2 weeks, can you talk about mothers and guilt? Because whether mothers are working or whether they're at home full time, they feel guilty no matter what they're doing. And this is horrible. This is not the way God wants us to live. There's true guilt and there's false guilt. When we really mess up, we're doing something we shouldn't be, we need to stop dead in our tracks, change our behavior, and, you know, ask forgiveness and move on. But the sense that, and false guilt comes from the sense that I'm never doing things well enough. I'm not good enough. And mothers who are at work often feel they're not good enough moms, even if they're working one afternoon a week. Or it doesn't matter. Mothers who are home full time feel guilty because they feel they should be contributing to the family income. And, you know, the truth of the matter is every mother needs to live the life that God wants her to live. But we can't listen to that and hear that because we're bombarded with voices around us that we don't even realize saying, you need to be this, you need to be this, you need to be this. It starts with losing, you know, that 10 pounds and exercising 5 times a week at the gym to, you know, how much time you should spend away from your kids or not spend away from your kids. And this is really a very, very, very sad way to live. So we've got to learn to face the peer pressure, understand what the voices are telling us what to do. And we need to learn to live the lives that God has called us to live. And I write about simplifying our life. I write about solitude and how important it is to spend time alone and in prayer. I talk about the importance of faith. It's really about sort of once we attend to the center of our lives, our relationship with God, our relationship with our loved ones, we spend our energy and time there, then all this stuff about working or not working or guilt or whatever, that'll all begin to fade away. But we can't hear that as long as we're paying attention to all these voices around us telling us who we should be and what we should be. And when we don't measure up to that, all we feel is guilt. And it's an overriding feeling that women live with every day.
From a man's perspective, I know that in a man's world, competition and comparing, I'll just speak for myself, comparing myself to other people who may be in the same field that I'm in, often I've got to guard myself spiritually against this tendency to say, now why couldn't that happen to me, or why didn't I score this big interview or whatever? That, women don't have that problem, do they?
Right. You know, women have it and ramp it up tenfold because they have this feeling of jealousy and competition in every area of their lives, whether it's about their weight, whether it's about their looks, whether it's about how well their kids are performing and what kind of grades their kids are getting, if their kids are getting grades that aren't as good as the mother's friend's kids. She feels competitive. Mothers feel competitive with one another around how well they're parenting. Mothers are competitive, you know, and they want to show, I'm a better mom because. Now, a lot of times we don't know this consciously. This is all subconscious. But the truth of the matter is women, the minute we meet somebody, we size a woman up, and then we measure her against ourselves and we to sort of see, well, how am I doing compared to her? Oh, she makes money, I don't. Oh, you know, she has 4 kids, I have 2. Oh, her kids are, you know, well-behaved in church, my kids aren't. You name it, we compete. And I write a whole chapter on the importance of stopping competition with other mothers, again, so that we can live the authentic lives that God has purposed for each one of us, because we're missing out. You know, go down that path of competition and jealousy, it goes nowhere good. Never, ever, ever. And we need to get back to saying, what does God have for me, and be content in the joy in that.
One of the pieces of advice, Dr. Meeker, that you give for a woman who's feeling competitive and maybe jealous of someone is to praise that person and maybe verbally praise them to their face.
Oh, you bet. I mean, you know, it's like heaping the burning coals on someone when you go to somebody that you're jealous of. And you make a conscious effort to say, I feel really jealous, but that's okay. I'm going to change the way I talk towards this person. I'm going to pay them a compliment. It disarms them. It diffuses your jealousy. And amazingly, when we change the way we talk, it changes the way we feel towards that person. Because the truth of the matter is, you know, everybody has their own story. And all of this is so superficial. We maybe feel jealous of somebody, but if we really walked in their shoes and knew their life, probably a lot of that jealousy would turn on its head. And we'd realize that, gee whiz, there's a whole lot we've got going for us in life that that person doesn't. And I find that that's one of the easiest and simplest ways to really crack through all that ugly jealousy is to face-to-face to that person, or even if you just want to write them a note, tell them what a good job they're doing at something. Find something nice to say. It's remarkable how powerful that tool is.
One of the best parts of my getting old and becoming a grandfather is watching my daughter as a mother. This mm-hmm. has been absolutely fascinating to me. I think my daughter's 23. Don't hold me to that, but she's got a 1-year-old daughter now, my granddaughter. And how is it possible that motherhood seems to come so naturally? I mean, you don't get a manual on how to do this, and yet I've watched my daughter for a year. You know, she would probably say, you know, it hasn't been perfect, but watching her, how wonderful it is to see her and her husband now raising their daughter, my granddaughter. But yet I got to know that even though I don't see it, there has to be some pretty stressful times for young mothers especially. Do you have any special advice for young mothers of these 1-year-olds or younger in terms of how they spend their time and how they make time for themselves?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think one of the biggest stresses in early motherhood with the youngsters under a year old who aren't sleeping is sleep deprivation. And mothers who are of real young ones, particularly first-time moms, feel that they should be this child's everything, that they need to provide, that a mom needs to be the source of all of the nutrition, you know, that's the breastfeed, and they need to be the source of all the joy, all the calm, all the nurturing, everything. And to say, you know what, I can't be, and that's okay, because maybe I'm not supposed to be. So, for instance, I encourage young mothers, let dad have his own time with a child and go off for a couple of hours. Breastfeeding, and you're up for the, you know, 100th night in a row. You know, have dad get up and give the baby a bottle and let you sleep. So, in other words, ask for physical help from loved ones around you and take it. And don't feel, how many mothers don't even want to leave their kids for an hour or two in the evening to go out with their husband. But we need to do this. You know, hire a kid in the neighborhood to come and watch your baby and go upstairs and take a nap in the afternoon. Getting physical relief and giving yourself permission to do that by recruiting help. And there's so many friends and family and loved ones that'll say, I'll take the baby for an afternoon, or, you know, I'll do this. Take that help so that you can really rest and recuperate, because I do believe that one of the most important things we give our kids is, you know, a healthy mother, emotionally and spiritually and physically balanced mom. You know, and this is more important than breast milk and extra time here and being the only one to this. That's very important.
You make it clear that that mothers need friendships. They need to be spending time maybe away from their children. And as you've just noted, that's very difficult, especially for young mothers who really feel like they are the source of this child's everything. But in your book, you talk about inner and outer circles of friends.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, an inner circle of friends is, you know, those one or two or three women who know you so well that you can call up at any time of the day or night. If you feel like you're having a meltdown, life is out of control, you're exhausted, and you can call them and say, help, I don't know what to do, my life is falling apart. These are the women that literally sort of keep you standing up during the day. And women in particular need them because we are communicative creatures. We are social creatures. Well, and men also, but we're built for relationship, and that's what sustains us is that relationship. And what I find with many women is when they become busy raising their children and working or, you know, however their the combination works, the first thing they cut is friends, women friends. And this is a terrible thing because we need women to be an outlet for us, to be sort of a release valve. And we need that constant friendship. It helps our marriages. It helps our relationship with our kids. Because if we don't have those deep connections outside of the family, then those inside of the family are going to sort of be the recipients of a lot of our frustration. And that's not really fair to them. And I talk about the outer circle of friends. It's those women that we meet that are in our lives for a season and then they're gone. You know, the mothers whose kids play soccer with our kids. And those are great acquaintances, and I don't mean to undervalue them at all. They serve a purpose. They're wonderful. But women need one or two or three women friends who can come to their aid in a moment's notice. Extremely important for our emotional health.
You know, as a pastor, Meg, I always say if I need to get something done here in the church, find the busiest mother I can find, and she will get it done. One of the things that you point out about valuing and practicing faith in your book is the importance of mothers serving. And yet a lot of mothers might say, when am I going to have time to do this? How do they make time to serve outside the home and get engaged in mission and that sort of thing?
Well, I say I feel very strongly about service. I think it's enormous for our kids to see as well. But one of the things that I think, you know, I always say that, you know, you can always find time to do what you really need to do or you really want to do. And I think that service is important because it brings us beyond ourselves, gets our focus off of our immediate problems. And it's extremely enriching.
Well, I want to say to folks that this is a very important book, and we haven't even touched on most of it. The 10 Habits of Happy Mothers, Reclaiming Our Passion, Purpose, and Sanity. And it's available at Dr. Meg Meeker's website, www.megmeekermd.com. And I commend the website to you. I also understand, Dr. Meeker, you've got a new internet radio program.
Yes, I did a lot of interviews with some fabulous people, particularly talking about the sexualization of America's kids, which is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. And that's going to be available on my website as well. We're just getting those loaded onto my website. So those are going to be some terrific interviews. I interviewed some fabulous people. So those are available on my website too.
MegMeekerMD.com. And Dr. Meeker, it's been a joy chatting with you about this book.
Oh, thank you so much, and blessings to you.